This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 608 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. In Gaza this week, Israeli forces have massacred more than 400 Palestinians and injured more than 2,000 in the last 7 days in airstrikes, tank shellings, drone attacks, and with sniper fire. Attacks continued against hospitals, medical clinics, residential buildings, schools turned into shelters, and inside humiliating death traps engineered by U.S. mercenaries and Israeli soldiers under the guise of distributing meager amounts of snacks to millions of starving people, while real international aid remains in trucks stuck behind the crossings for more than 3 consecutive months. Nearly 100 Palestinians were killed and 440 injured between Tuesday and Wednesday alone, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza. On Monday, June 2nd, Israeli airstrikes flattened a home in Gaza City, pinning a baby and his 5-year-old brother beneath the rubble. This clip, filmed by Al Jazeera reporter Anas Al-Sharif, shows the moment the two children were rescued by Palestinian first responders and civil defense workers. The children were placed in their father's hands. Anas Al-Sharif says that the 5-year-old Karim was trapped for hours under the rubble with his baby brother and their mother, but all were pulled out alive. For 3 months, Israel has sealed the crossings, preventing international aid agencies from delivering food, water, medicine, fuel, infrastructure, repair parts, and other basic essentials, engineering a full-blown catastrophe of starvation. Last week, Israel and its U.S. partners opened its 4 so-called aid distribution centers as part of the private, shadowy Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, branding it as an effort to distribute aid to 2 million starving Palestinians. Since May 27th, when the private firm began its lethal and humiliating operations, more than 100 Palestinians have been killed and nearly 500 injured while seeking meager portions of food aid. The Gaza government media office said on Tuesday, June 3rd, that the Israeli occupation is turning these aid distribution centers, quote, into mass death traps and bloodbaths. That day, at least 27 Palestinians were shot and killed, and more than 90 were wounded. 2 brothers, 15-year-old Ahmed Mohammed Zaidan and 17-year-old Abdulrahman Zaidan, witnessed the murder of their mother, Reem, while they were trying to get an aid parcel on Tuesday. Abdulrahman said that he was next to his mother when she was shot in the head by Israeli sniper fire on the crowd. Quote, "We didn't know which way to run, bombing and the occupation closing in. They said, get behind the wall. We went behind the wall," he said. When they thought it was okay to keep moving, Abdulrahman says that, quote, "My mom told me to duck and walk forward. We walked, ducking our heads, when suddenly she started saying, take care of your brother. The sniper had shot her in the head." 15-year-old Ahmed said that, quote, "We didn't know what was happening. We're just children, civilian children. There were no fighters among us. No one from our side attacked the Zionists. Yet the Zionists started bombing us everywhere. Don't go to the aid centers. You'll lose your siblings. Don't go," he pleaded. "For a coupon that's not even worth 50 shekels, it's not worth it to sacrifice our lives." The day before, on Monday, June 2nd, at least 3 Palestinians were killed and 35 wounded near the so-called aid distribution point in Rafah. And on Sunday, June 1st, Israel carried out massacres at two aid points in Rafah and at the Netzarim corridor south of Gaza City. Witnesses say that in Rafah, around 3:30 a.m., as people waited in line for the aid point to open at 6 a.m., Israeli forces and drones fired directly into the crowd, sparking chaos and mass casualties. At least 30 were killed on the spot. Doctors Without Borders was part of the mass casualty response at Nasser Medical Complex in Khan Yunis. Patients told the medical group that, quote, they were shot from all sides by drones, helicopters, boats, tanks, and Israeli soldiers on the ground. Nur Al-Sakka, a communications officer with Doctors Without Borders, stated, quote, the hospital corridors were filled with patients, but unlike what I have witnessed before, where most of the patients were women and children, today it was mainly men. They lay in their beds in the hallways because the rooms are already packed with injured people. They had visible gunshot wounds in their limbs, and their clothes were soaked with blood. They looked shattered and distraught after trying to secure food for their children, returning instead injured and empty-handed. Outside, there was shouting, sirens, a constant rush of new arrivals to the emergency room. Amid the chaos, we received confirmation that a colleague's brother had been killed while attempting to collect aid from the distribution center, she added. Mansour Sami Abdi, a father of four, described the chaos to Doctors Without Borders, saying, quote, people fought over five pallets. They told us to take food. Then they fired from every direction. I ran 200 meters before realizing I'd been shot. This isn't aid. It's a lie. Are we supposed to go get food for our kids and die? Inside Nasser Medical Complex, Dr. Ahmed Abu Suaid reported on the mass casualties following the June 1st massacres.
Today we had a mass casualty event, hundreds of injured, already dozens if not hundreds of confirmed casualties, deaths. The hospital is overwhelmed already. We're running out of ketamine, we're running out of dressings, we're running out of chest tubes. And the doctors, we've only been doing this for a few days. Doctors here have been doing this for the last 200 days. They're exhausted, the resources are overwhelmed. These are all civilian casualties that were asked to go to an aid center to collect food and ended up presenting with gunshot wounds, shrapnel wounds. Most of them are critical. Some of them arrived dead on arrival because of severe gunshot, targeted gunshot wounds to the head and the thorax. I've never seen anything like this, and I don't know what more there is to say. I just want to say these are civilians that were looking for food, and they've been shot, and there's a lack of aid, there's a lack of food, there's a lack of supplies. Wherever you sit on the political spectrum, this is wrong, this is a humanitarian issue, this is not a political issue. These people need care, they deserve food, and they deserve aid. And that's my message to the world, Western world, Arab world, whatever the world is. If this situation can't continue, there's people dying that can't be saved, there's women, children, adults, all portions of the population are dying and they can't be saved. This is all preventable if aid was allowed in.
That was Dr. Ahmed Abu Suaid inside Nasser Medical Complex on Sunday, June 1st. Instagram user Rami Nassar documented his journey under fire at one of the aid points the day before, on Saturday, May 31st. He stated, quote, on Saturday, I went to the aid distribution point with my little brother. We didn't want to go, but we didn't have a choice. It was either that or starve. I didn't want to bring Muhammad with me. He's only 14, but he didn't want to be left alone. After the airstrike last year, it's just the two of us left. We lost our entire family, our parents, our siblings, everyone. Since then, it's been just me trying to keep him safe. I'm all he has. I have to make sure he eats, make sure he's okay. Right now, we're surviving on one meal a day. We have to ration everything. What we saw yesterday, I can't describe it. The sound of the bullets above our heads was like a sword slicing through the air. You hear the whistle and your whole body freezes. Everyone around us was bleeding, some injured, some already gone. We ran when the shells started falling. I couldn't even film that part. This video is only a small piece of what happened. I hope it reaches people who can help. We never want to go back to a place like that again. Here's Rami's clip from Saturday.
ظل يطخ لما يطلع. يا وردي
تعال هنا تعال هنا تعال هنا
يا سيد حد يروح شرق.
يلا قوم 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 تعال من هنا تعال.
ول 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 ول
يلا حمود حمود يلا روح.
That was Instagram user Rami Nassar reporting from one of the aid distribution points last weekend. The Gaza government media office stated on Saturday that, quote, "We affirm to the entire world that what is happening is the systematic and malicious use of aid as a tool of war, employed to blackmail starving civilians and forcibly gather them in exposed killing points, managed and monitored by the occupation army and funded and politically covered by the occupation and the U.S. administration, which bears full moral and legal responsibility for these crimes. It has been proven by blood, eyewitness testimony, and field and international reports that the Aid Through Buffer Zones project is a failed and dangerous project," the media office said, adding that, quote, "it serves as a cover for the occupation's security and military policies and is used to falsely promote claims of a humanitarian response, while the occupation closes official crossings and prevents the arrival of genuine relief from neutral international bodies." After more than 100 people were killed in the 8 days since it began its operations, the private U.S.-led mercenary firm announced that they were suspending operations for the day on Wednesday, June 4th. The Palestinian Center for Human Rights, meanwhile, called for the total and immediate dissolution of this shadowy firm. The Israeli army's, quote, "insistence on maintaining this deadly aid distribution mechanism, despite the chaos it has inflicted and the consistent pattern of daily casualties and injuries, clearly indicates that the Israeli occupation forces do not intend to provide aid to Gaza's starving population," the Human Rights Center stated. "Rather, they aim to turn this mechanism into traps of death, humiliation, and dehumanization of Palestinian civilians who have endured months of unprecedented levels of deliberate starvation." After the American CEO of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation resigned before the aid points even began its chaotic, incompetent, and lethal operations, a new CEO was appointed this week. Johnny Moore, a Christian Zionist evangelical leader with close ties to both U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister and war crime suspect Benjamin Netanyahu. Tel Aviv newspaper Haaretz reports that Moore is the president of the Congress of Christian Leaders and holds ties with key Gulf political figures, having held meetings with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman during a first-of-its-kind visit to Saudi Arabia by evangelical leaders during Trump's first term. Moore has denied that Israel attacked and killed Palestinians seeking aid in the past week. Israel attacked hospitals again this week across Gaza as the health sector continues to be in a freefall catastrophe after more than 600 days of genocide and 3 months of total blockade. Noted Palestinian-British surgeon Dr. Ghassan Abu Sitta said that the level of the crisis is so intense that the blood bank in Gaza is now unable to accept blood donations, even as the need for blood is critical. Quote, "the donors are too malnourished from the famine, too dehydrated from the diarrhea diseases they got from drinking dirty water, and many have hepatitis viral infections," he stated on June 3rd. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza announced that operating rooms, intensive care units, and emergency rooms are experiencing a shortage of life-saving medications, medical supplies, and diagnostic imaging equipment that are preventing urgent surgical interventions for wounded patients. On Wednesday, June 4th, Israel drone bombed the roof of the main building of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza, marking the 11th time the hospital has been attacked since October 2023. On June 1st, Israeli forces bombed the Noura Al-Kabi Dialysis Center in northern Gaza, the only clinic serving kidney patients in the besieged north. The Ministry of Health said that the destruction of the clinic, quote, poses a catastrophic threat to the health of those in need of dialysis, the consequences of which are unpredictable, they said. 41% of kidney failure patients have died during the last 20 months because they have been denied access to dialysis centers, along with the destruction of designated clinics and nephrology departments, the ministry added. On May 29th, Al-Auda Hospital in Jabalia was emptied of its patients and staff following a two-week siege on the medical facility by Israeli forces. Along with the forced closure of the Indonesian hospital earlier this week, not a single hospital remains open or functioning in northern Gaza, the UN reports. On June 5th, Israel attacked the Al-Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza City, killing at least three journalists while they were setting up shelters to protect themselves from the heat, according to Al Jazeera's Hani Mahmoud. He said that this is the eighth time the hospital has been hit by Israeli forces since October 2023. It was reopened just 2 weeks ago after the last attack, according to Dr. Fadl Naim, who works at the hospital. Hani Mahmoud said, quote, three of the journalists were reported killed on the spot and pieces of flesh were left scattered on what was once a manicured garden at the medical facility. One more journalist was reported with serious injuries and is now undergoing surgery inside the hospital with minimal supplies. There are other serious injuries due to the shrapnel. These drone missiles are lethal because they are packed with nails and pieces of metal. When they explode, they pierce through the body and cause severe bleeding, he said. Amidst the massacres, the Israeli army is continuing to shrink the areas in which Palestinians live in Gaza. The United Nations Humanitarian Office stated on Wednesday that the latest figures indicate that in just the past 3 weeks, more than 100,000 people have been forced to flee in North Gaza and the Gaza City area alone. The UN says that while more than 640,000 people have been displaced again in the past 3 months since Israel broke the ceasefire, the Israeli authorities have not allowed the entry of any shelter supplies. An update on a story we reported last week on the Al-Najjar family, whose home was attacked by an Israeli airstrike on May 24th in Khan Yunis. As you'll remember, Dr. Ala Al-Najjar, a pediatric specialist, was working at the Nasser Medical Complex when her home nearby was bombed, incinerating and killing 9 of her 10 children. Her son, 11-year-old Adam, survived, but was critically injured and remains in the ICU. Her husband, physician Hamdi Al-Najjar, also survived the bombing, but he too died from his injuries on Saturday, May 31st. Ala and her son Adam are now the only survivors of their 12-person family left. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of Medical Neglect Widespread in Israeli Prisons by Fida Al-Kedra, writing from Gaza. Fida writes that Palestinian detainees in Israeli prisons face not only intolerably abusive conditions, but also systematic medical neglect, worsening their physical and mental health. She profiles three Palestinians from the occupied West Bank and Gaza who described harrowing experiences that reflect a pattern of deliberate denial of basic health care, a situation that has worsened since October 2023. Quote, Adel Sobieh, 21, was detained from a hospital bed on March 20, 2024. At the time, he was a patient at Al-Shifa Hospital, where he was receiving treatment for a leg wound sustained in the so-called Flower Massacre in February 2024. But on March 18, 2024, Israeli troops surrounded the hospital and began systematically rounding up patients and staff. Soldiers forced everyone, including patients, into the hospital yard, Adil told the Electronic Intifada. They made us strip and walk toward them. I was slow because of my injury, but they didn't care. They beat my injured leg until it started bleeding. The abuse didn't stop there. I was loaded onto a military truck where soldiers, he said, extinguished cigarettes on my body. By the time Adel reached the Sidi Tayman detention camp, he had lost consciousness from the torture. At the Sidi Tayman clinic, a doctor slapped me and muttered something in Hebrew. Adel's wounds were treated, and he was told he would be taken to hospital. When I woke up at the hospital, a doctor told me they were going to amputate my leg. I signed a form under pressure that I agreed to the surgery and waived the right to a blood transfusion. After the operation, which saw him lose his leg to above the thigh, they mocked him. They said, "We took your leg," and laughed. That same day, they transferred me back to Sidi Tayman. Adel spent 2.5 months in detention, during which he endured repeated beatings and remained cold throughout, as he was often kept naked except for a diaper. Quote, "I lived 44 days in hell." Those are excerpts from Medical Neglect Widespread in Israeli Prisons by Fida El-Kedra, writing from Gaza on electronicintifada.net. And finally, as we always do, we wanted to highlight people expressing joy, determination, and resilience across Palestine and today around the world. A small group of international volunteers are right now aiming to break the siege on Gaza. For the last few days, the Madleen, a small boat, is sailing from Italy across the Mediterranean Sea and is due to reach Palestine's coast in the next few days. The crew is carrying with them aid for Palestinians in Gaza: baby formula, flour, rice, diapers, women's sanitary products, water desalination kits, medical supplies, crutches, and children's prosthetics. Aboard the Madleen is the young climate activist Greta Thunberg, who has been a vocal and steadfast supporter of the Palestinian liberation struggle and an activist against Israel's genocide. On June 3rd, as the boat sailed in international waters near Greece, drones hovered over the activists' heads. They were revealed to be Herons, Israeli-made surveillance drones developed by Israel Aerospace Industries and sold to Greece under a partnership with Israel that activists say allows for potential backdoor access by the Israeli military. However, as of Thursday morning, this morning, the boat is still sailing. 22-year-old Greta Thunberg spoke recently to Middle East Eye, explaining why climate activism is interlinked with solidarity with Palestine.
Ask you, and I've seen a lot of people level this accusation at you. You know, you came to the fore as a climate activist. Why are you so concerned with the Palestinian cause?
Well, shouldn't the question be, why should we not be concerned? Why should we not be absolutely outraged and heartbroken every single time we think about it? I don't understand how we cannot be. And it's so weird to me that people are separating caring about the environment and the climate to caring about humans. Like, I care about the environment and the climate because I care about human and planetary well-being. Those are the same thing in my view. We are standing up for justice and for sustainability, for liberation for everyone. There can be no climate justice without social justice. We cannot pretend to care about the future of humankind and how our children will be affected in the future. For example, in the case of Sweden, like, we cannot pretend to care about how our white privileged children will be impacted of climate change in the future when we are ignoring the suffering of marginalized people today. That is just an extremely racist way of seeing the world.
And I know that there's going to be people in Gaza that have read about your journey and will be waiting for you on the shores of Gaza in the next couple of days. What's your message to them?
My message to them is so much that they are the real heroes of today, that the courage they have to just simply defend themselves and be able to exist every single day in this genocide is something that no one else will ever be able to understand. And that also on behalf of the international community, the so-called Western world, I am so sorry that we have betrayed you by not supporting you enough.
That's Greta Thunberg aboard the Madeleine ship speaking to Middle East Eye. The ship is headed to Gaza and will continue to follow the flotilla's progress in the coming days. That's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.